2 weeks ago, I preached a message entitled, Disciple, a Deacon is a Disciple Who Serves. I want to expand on that thought today. There is no way the work of the entire ministry of Gospel Light Baptist Church can be done just by the pastors and the deacons. The Bible gives me a clear mandate, and I want you to look in your Bibles and see this firsthand in Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12. Let me give you time to get there. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And he gave, in other words, these are gifts that Jesus gave to the church. Some apostles, in the early days they had apostles, some prophets, that's those that proclaim truth, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why am I a gift to the church? You say, preacher, you're a gag gift to our church. Now don't say that. I'm a gift to the church for what reason? Look at verse 13, or 12. For the perfecting of the saints, maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. One of the responsibilities of myself, the pastor, is to equip God's people to do the work of the ministry. It's not our job or somebody that just has a position or a place and they're recognized for that. No, it's everyone. And my job is to equip God's people in the church to do the work of the ministry and to also build up the body of Christ right here at our church. John Maxwell, anybody heard that name? He teaches on leadership, all right? He makes this statement. You might have heard it before. Teamwork makes the dream work. Can you say that with me? Ready? Teamwork makes the dream work. Then I've got an acrostic for team, T-E-A-M. Together, each accomplishes more. You heard that before? Say that with me. Ready? Together, each accomplishes more. From Acts 6, we saw how the deacons were put in place in the early church. The church grew and thrived. That's why we sang that song, Thrive, today. The Lord wants our church to thrive. Now, the pastors, you know what? When the deacons were put in place, that means the pastors were freed up to lead, feed, like I'm doing this morning, feeding you the Word of God, and intercede. Intercede to God on your behalf. Get guidance from God on what His agenda is for our church. And when the deacons were put in place and that structure was formed, the apostles were freed up, pastors are freed up to lead, feed, and intercede. The deacons were appointed to serve, but many other believers got involved and served. Do you think those seven deacons could have reached all the widows in that big old church at Jerusalem? No. So they had to have people under them to get the job done. So I'm just here to encourage you. We've been talking about deacons now for 3 weeks or so, or four. But I want you to think about yourself. Do you have a place of service in our church? Because it takes everyone to get the job done. You know, we're to minister in three directions. If you're taking notes, write these down. We are to minister to the Lord. You say, how do we do that? You got to spend time in worship with Him. Many people have tried to work before they worship. Let me just let you in on a secret. It won't work. You'll get frustrated. You'll get burnt out. Because they're so active and they want to work, but they've spent no time with Jesus. You have to worship before you work. Does that make sense? So you have a responsibility to minister to the Lord. Spend time with Him in prayer. Study that old Bible. He created us to have a relationship with Him. Don't try to work without worshiping first. I believe it's essential. Spend time with God. All right? We're also to minister to other believers. Look at your neighbor and say, howdy, neighbor. We're supposed to minister to one another, okay? Hey, that's part of being a part of a church. Someone has a need. Someone needs a friend. We are there for each other. I love this scripture. Look at Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous. He's not unjust. To forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name. Now you're doing it to his glory and his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints. How many believe you're a saint? If you're a Christian, you're a saint, okay? You say, boy, that's special, right? You minister to the saints and do minister. What does that mean? You show your love to God by caring for one another, other believers, okay? We are to love one another. We are to be there for one another. So we minister to God in worship. We minister to each other, saved people, the members of our church. But then number three, we're supposed to minister to unbelievers. Man, there's people all around us that are dying and going to hell. They need to hear the gospel. By the way, we have a new church track. I want everybody to get their hands on. It's got the plan of salvation. It's got the nice, it even has a map of where the church is located, all the information they need. You need to be handing those tracks out, or at least those little invited cards. Do your part. If you want to tag doors in your neighborhood, we have door hangers now. You can go around, tag their doors. Just get the word out. We are to be the salt of the earth. That's what the Bible says. The salt holds back corruption. It makes people... You ever eat a bag of potato chips? And all of a sudden your mouth is dry, dry, dry. And you got to have that water. You know, that's what a Christian will do. And we are to be the salt. And people ought to look at our lives. We ought to make a difference by shining our light into an unsaved person's life. We can make an impact by living a righteous life in front of them. They're going to see a difference if a righteous Christian is living in front of them. So it's amazing. So to the Lord, to other believers, to unbelievers. Now, how many believe with God's help, our church is able to meet people's needs, right? When we join together, there's no stopping us. I thought of three ways. We meet people's physical needs. Perhaps we provide food or shelter or clothing or other resources. We help with special needs as they come up. Number two, I thought about emotional needs. You know, part of our church's job is to comfort the afflicted. How many of you are going through something right now and you feel afflicted? We need to rally around each other and give comfort. Listen. You say, I like to talk. You know, a lot of people just need you to listen. Turn up your miracle ear and start listening to them. Pray for them. Give them a word of encouragement. You don't know what people are going through. And that's why William's such a blessing. Where are you, William? Where's he at? There he is in the back. That's why William's such a blessing. Because you know you're going to get a word of encouragement from William. And a tight hug and a squeeze, right? But that's what we're there for. And also we're there to counsel someone. Help them as they're navigating these rough waters that they're in. So we're not only meeting people's physical needs, we're meeting their emotional needs. Now I think that is so important for you to be in a connection group. You say, there he goes again. Every one of you need to come an hour early at 10 and be in a connection group. Because that's where we get to know each other. That's where we get to know what your needs are. It's in that small group. It's so important. And then we have other connection groups that meet during the week. But a small group is priceless, okay? Find a small group that you can be a part of. That's where you get to know one another. And then y'all that are lonely, you don't have a friend, that's where you can find friendship. And the need for fellowship is fulfilled in that small group. So physical needs, emotional needs. Number three, spiritual needs. Do you know our job as Christians is to reconcile people to God? Here's a person, unsaved. Here's God. Who comes between? Now, Jesus Christ is our mediator. He's the mediator between God and man. But we have a part in that as we share with them and let them know, hey, you need Jesus. He is the only way. We are bringing God and man together. Now, tell them that Jesus is, you got to have a relationship with him in order to have an abundant life, in order to be satisfied. So many people are trying to find satisfaction in all the wrong places. How many found satisfaction in Jesus? Amen? You better say amen, right? That's where the satisfaction comes from. We need to tell people about the abundant life. It's found in Jesus. Not only that, as a preacher, now remember I said we're supposed to comfort the afflicted? But you know what preaching does? It also afflicts the comfortable. In other words, when you hear the word of God and you're comfortable just going through the motions or continuing in your sin, you're supposed to be convicted when you hear God's word. So we are to comfort the afflicted, but we're also to afflict the comfortable. And wake up those that are asleep. If somebody's sleeping, wake them up. Hey, we are, you know, those that are just going through the motions spiritually. And I am to give you sound doctrine to help you grow as a Christian. Hey, we're here to help meet people's spiritual needs. Now, there are a lot of needs represented in this sanctuary today. Have you ever thought about that? Every Sunday that we meet, there's physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs. Someone here has a financial need right now. And we want to pray with you about that. Someone here is dealing with illness. Or they've got a loved one that's very ill. Or they're dealing with death this morning. Someone's passed away. Someone here needs a close friend. I believe that. Someone here needs to be saved. I think every time we gather, there's possibility of having unsaved people in the building. They need to give their hearts to Jesus and believe on Him. There are some here that need to get thoroughly right with God by confessing and forsaking their sin. Finally, get it out of their life. Hey, let's pray for these needs today. God wants to use each of us to build up the body. You were put on this earth and into this church to make a contribution. I'm not talking about a contribution in the offering. I'm talking about your life, your time, your talents, your abilities. We're all put together to make a contribution, and we can give something back. How many believe He's done so much for us? We sang about Him this morning. The least I can do is to give back to Him. All right, I got 9 points, but they're short. Don't get worried, okay? Stay with me, all right? Don't look at your clock. I'll go real fast. Number one, we were created to serve. Do you realize you were created to serve? Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship. That means you are God's masterpiece. Have you ever thought about it that way? Wow. Created in Christ Jesus unto. Uh-oh, what's the next two words? Say it loud. Ready? Ooh, good works. That means I'm supposed to serve. I'm supposed to do good to my fellow man and fellow believers. Okay? You were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, good works don't save you. They are a result of salvation. Right? Which God hath before ordained. He planned for us long ago. He has a plan for your life and a purpose of putting you at gospel light, that ye should walk in them. Why am I here on earth? Ask yourself that question. Here's the answer: to serve. That's why you're here. You and I were placed on this planet for a special assignment from God to serve Him. Do good works. All right, number two. I told you I was going to be fast. Ready? We were saved to serve. 2 Timothy 1:9, just the first part. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Hey, after you get saved, you know what you need to be asking? Lord, what is your will for my life? Because I was created to serve. I'm saved to serve. Every Christian. In God's kingdom, you got a place, you got a purpose, you got a role, you got a function to fulfill. And if you don't fulfill it, something's going to be missing. I believe a non-serving Christian is a contradiction. Y'all ever heard one of my favorite words in the dictionary? Oxymoron. That's what a non-serving Christian is. They're an oxymoron. Doesn't make sense. Because every Christian ought to be a servant. Because you were saved to serve. All right, number three. We are called to serve. I love 1 Peter 4:10. It says, as every man hath received the gift. Okay, what's this gift talking about? You have a spiritual gift. Wow. It was given to you by the Holy Spirit when He entered into you at the moment of salvation. And you're supposed to use that spiritual gift for the glory of God. As every man and woman hath received the gift, here's what we're supposed to do with it. Even so, minister, serve the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God's given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. I want to encourage you to use your spiritual gift well. Serve one another. Every Christian is called to serve. We can help someone else by using our God-given abilities. There is no small service to God. It all matters. Y'all believe that? There is no small service. It all matters to God. Hey, we've got people serving right now so that our young couples can enjoy this service because their children are being taken care of. You say, oh, that's just a small ministry. Not in God's eyes and not in my eyes as the pastor. That is a huge ministry. And I thank God for those that serve. There are no insignificant ministries in our church. You say, well, some ministries are visible. They're up on the stage. Other ministries are not visible. But every one of them are important. Let me ask you this. Are you still with me? Punch your neighbor. Wake them up. Which light... Oh, the teens really get after that. All right. They love punching each other. All right. Which light in your home is the most important? Think about that. You say, preacher, the chandelier in the dining room. I got to see how to eat. How many are with me? Okay. That's not the most important light in your home. How about the ceiling fan light in the living room? Well, I got to see to read the paper. I got to see to do. Nope. I got something for you to think about. What is the most important light in your home? It's that little night light that keeps you from stubbing your toe on the edge of your bed in the middle of the night. Are you with me? Hey, that ceiling fan light comes in handy. That dining room light helps me see what I'm eating. But that little night light is a blessing too. My point is, every one of us are important. Every ministry works together. There are no insignificant ministries. Every ministry matters because we're dependent on each other. Just like Lakin had class with the Embrace Grace girls. Well, we've got other ministries going on at the same time to take care of their kids if they have kids. I mean, everything just ties in together. And if they have older kids, they're in our youth group or in our children's department. It's amazing. All right, number four. I got to hurry. We are gifted to serve. Let me talk a little bit more about the gifts. If you've never studied Romans 12, it can be a great blessing to you. Let's read it. Having then gifts, this is verse 6, Romans 12, differing according to the grace that is given to us. In other words, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things. There's a myriad of things to do around the church. So God gifts people in different ways so he can use them, use their gifts, all right? Whether prophecy, let us prophesy. In this context, that means a person who has the gift of prophecy boldly proclaims the truth of God's word. According to the proportion of faith, that means with the faith that God's given to you, preach the word, proclaim the truth. All right, verse 7, or ministry, that's serving. Let us wait on our ministering. In other words, serve those around you well. If you've got the gift of service. You got the gift of prophecy. All right, number 3, or he that teacheth. Hey, if you've got the gift of teaching and it's a spiritual gift from him, you ought to be teaching something. And all it says is he that teacheth on teaching. That means teach well. Here's the next one. He that exhorteth on exhortation, encourage well. Some of you have this gift. You just love to pick up people and encourage them. Be a blessing to them. Encourage people well. So you've got the gift of prophecy, ministry or serving, teaching, exhortation. What's the next one? He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Give generously. Many of you did that last week. Many of you do that every Sunday. See, we have to have all types of people, and some have the gift of giving. They go above and beyond, and God has blessed them with the financial resources for them to be able to do that. All right, he that ruleth, here's the next one, an administrator. They've got leadership ability. Man, you need to be using that leadership ability right here in the church and do it with diligence. That means take the responsibility seriously. And then the last one, he that showeth mercy. That's just compassion. How many need some more compassion in your life? I think a lot of people are gifted with the gift of mercy. And they are to show it to those around them and do it with cheerfulness. All right, those are the seven gifts that are mentioned right here in Romans 12. Which one's yours? And you say, preacher, I have no idea. Well, I even got a spiritual gifts test that can help you determine which one you fall into. And it can be a great blessing to your life. A lot of people aren't serving because they don't realize where their spiritual gifts are. Prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling or administrator, or mercy. Imagine the body of Christ represented in the church. Somebody put it this way, and I love this. Ready? The prophet is the eyes of the body. As a pastor, my vision has to come from God, and I have to make sure I'm directing the church and all the while boldly proclaiming the truth. Prophet, eyes of the body. The servant is the hands of the body. They know how to work with their hands, right? How about this one? The teacher is the mind of the body. Some of y'all are brainiacs. You need to be using that brain, helping others understand the word of God. Teachers are the mind. Exhorter is the mouth. Some of y'all love to talk. I'm not going to name any names, okay? But you know why God gave you the ability to put words together and encourage people? It's to build up the body of Christ. You're an exhorter. Paul was a great exhorter. He could take somebody that was here spiritually, and he knew how to get them, woohoo, up here spiritually. That's what an exhorter does. Encourage them, help them mature. Okay? How about this one? The giver is the arms of the body. Hey, the givers are great support to the leaders. How many remember Moses? As long as he had his hands up, they would win the victory. Y'all remember that story? Who was on either side of him? His brother Aaron and a boy named Hur. Hur is a man, okay? Aaron and Hur were holding up. That's the way I picture a giver in the church, holding up the arms of the leader. All right, the administrator is the shoulders of the body. They're holding the burden of leading people because they're probably administrating a ministry or doing something in that respect. Then I got one more. Mercy is the heart of the body. Have you ever seen it that way? Did y'all? There they are right there. Write those down. Prophet is the eyes. Servant is the hands. Teacher is the mind. Exhorter is the mouth. Giver is the arms. The administrator shoulders the responsibility. And the mercy people are the heart. We need everybody activating their gifts right here in the church. See how it all ties in together? How many believe we are the body of Christ? And that illustration helps me so much to see how the body of Christ works together. All right, number five. You have been authorized to serve. I don't have a verse on this one, but I didn't write it for you. I mean, 2 Corinthians 5:20 simply says, we are his ambassadors. How many are familiar with that term? We have ambassadors to foreign countries, right? What is an ambassador? One that represents royalty. One that represents a throne or a government. Now let me put it in context for a Christian. Are you listening? Are you a citizen of heaven or earth? Tell me. We are citizens of heaven. The moment you got saved, that's where your residence is. But guess what, y'all? We're still on earth. So we are an ambassador of God from heaven, representing Jesus upon this earth. Wow. We are to be a disciple. We are to make disciples. We are to serve as an ambassador. Someone may say, so you're an ambassador of Jesus? You say proudly, yes, I am. They may say, well, who do you think you are? You can answer right back, by God's grace, I have been authorized by Jesus to serve on his behalf. I am an ambassador. Number six, we are commanded to serve. Hey, we need to take a good look at Jesus and how he lived his life. Look at Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. He did not come to be served. What's the rest of it say? But to minister, but to serve. And he gave his life a ransom for many. Service is not optional. We grow up in order to give out. Tell me which is the better attitude. Ready? I'm looking for a church that meets my needs and blesses me. Or I'm looking for a church where I can serve and be a blessing. Which one's better, y'all? It's not about meeting my needs. It's about me being used of God to meet others' needs. A lot of times our attitude is either serve us or service. You ever thought about that? If your attitude's serve me, serve us, serve my family, we're just going to take it all in. Nope, your attitude needs to be service. I'm going to give my life for others. Hey, you'll have a much more fulfilled life. You'll have a better church experience when you find the ministry that God has made for you and get right in the middle of it. Knee deep, amen? Serving Him. Mature Christians have the attitude, whose needs can I meet? Not, who's going to meet my needs? Hey, don't worry about somebody meeting your needs, because when you start meeting other people's needs, automatically your needs are going to be met. That's the way it works. We are commanded to serve. Number 7, we are accountable to serve. Now, I touched on this a couple weeks ago. Romans 14, 12. So then every one of us shall give a personal, I just added those two words. This is a personal account of himself to God. You're going to stand before God. He's going to evaluate you on, here's what he's going to evaluate you on. What did you do with what you were given? You were given a spiritual gift to serve me with all your heart. What did you do with it? Do you remember how Jesus responded to those that did not do right with what God had given to them? Remember his response? Thou wicked and slothful servant. How many want to hear that at the judgment seat? Whew. I'd much rather hear this. Do you remember how he responded to those that were obedient? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Are those the words you long to hear? One day you're going to stand before God. You're going to be accountable to him. All right, number 8. Then we're going to be rewarded when we serve. I love these two verses. Look at them real quick. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Let me just give you the idea of what that's saying. Work willingly at whatever you do. You don't have to be forced to do it. You're doing it willingly, as though you're working for the Lord rather than for people. You know those people that are serving in the nursery right now? I think Laura and Hannah. They are serving God. They're not serving me. Does that make sense? They're doing it for Him. Now, they're blessing me. I love what they're doing, and they're helping our whole church out. But they're not doing it for me. They're doing it for Him. Work willingly at whatever you do, and work as if you're working for the Lord. All right, verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. He's keeping a record. He's a perfect judge. He's going to reward us. Why? Because ye serve the Lord Jesus. He's the master that you're serving. Not a human. It's the Lord Almighty. There's going to be rewards in heaven. They're going to be given out on the basis of how we served our master. He knows our motives. He knows our methods. He knows how we're managing the spiritual gifts that he's blessed us with. We're going to be accountable to him one day. We're going to be rewarded when we serve. Finally, I'm at the last one. Number 9. How many been waiting for number 9? The body of Christ, Gospel Light Baptist Church, needs you to serve. When I don't fulfill the ministries God's given me, you get cheated. Does that make sense? But when you don't fulfill the ministry God's given you, I get cheated and the rest of our church gets cheated. Does that make sense? Everybody's got their own place. We're all a necessary part of this church. This church needs my ministry. This church needs your ministry. How many believe the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few? The servants are few. So I'm calling out today. I'm so blessed that we're going to get 2 more deacons, I believe fully. But I'm calling out to everyone. The harvest truly is plenteous, but we need more laborers to lock arms with us and let's do the work that God's given us to do. We are put on the earth to be world changers, community changers. Those that we have contact with, let's make a difference in their life. Because our primary purpose is to reach and teach, give them the gospel, win them to Jesus, and develop them. So I want to encourage you, just a couple more points. Can I encourage you to dedicate yourself to God? To be what He wants you to be? How many love that verse in the Bible? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Man, how many are alive and breathing right now? Every morning you need to present your bodies. Hey, you say, how can a sacrifice be living? Normally sacrifices are dead. But you're alive and well and you can present your body as a living sacrifice to Jesus. That's the first step. You got to surrender. He's got to be your all in all. You got to worship Him before you work, like I said earlier. Now, after dedication, that's the first step. Dedicate yourself to God. Then eliminate competing distractions. Many times our lives are filled up with everything but service. If you're burning the candle at both ends, listen, but you're serious about serving God, guess what's going to happen? He's going to lead you to cut out some things. Prioritize and put God's work as the most important. And then everything else filters from there. A lot of people say, oh, this is more important. I'll go to church if I can. You got your priorities out of whack. You need to be in church. You need to be serving Jesus and let everything else fall into place. Might be time to cut out some things. Eliminate those distractions. Number three, can I encourage you to evaluate your strengths? Romans 12:3 says, for I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. In other words, don't think yourself you're better than you really are, but to think soberly. What's that mean? Be honest in your evaluation of your strengths and how God's blessed you. According as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. Here's what we're to do. Practice some humility, be honest about your weaknesses, and then ask yourself, where are my strengths? I'm good with my hands. I'm good with my words. I'm good with numbers. I'm good with people. I'm good with projects. I'm good with administrating. God made you that way. He made us all different with unique abilities. Then He put us all together in a place called a church in the body to serve together. Dedicate yourself to God. Eliminate those distractions. Evaluate your strengths. And then can I encourage you to cooperate with others believers? In Romans 12:4-5, it gives the analogy again of a body. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, not every member has the same function. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Hey, we belong to each other. All of us needs to be servants. We each have a different function in the body, but every ministry is important. We belong to each other. Lastly, can I encourage you to activate your gifts right here at Gospel Light? I need your ministry to be active in this church. You need the ministry of others to be active in this church. No one needs to be an island to themselves. We cooperate together to accomplish the mission that God has given to us. So as we vote on these deacons today, let's pray for them to be successful in the role that God has placed them in. But then let's hold up their arms. Just like you hold up my arms and Colton's arms. And let's all determine we are going to serve in this church effectively as well. Because we are a team. Y'all remember what it was? Together, each accomplishes more. Say it one more time. Ready? Together, each accomplishes more. Let's bow our heads in prayer.